Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. I'm Eric L. Dunovit, the lead focus strategist at KingdomROI.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Callahan, our lead faith strategist. At Kingdom ROI, we are advocates for families to grow and protect generational abundance and impact for 100 plus years. On this show, we tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize the world's measure of ROI, return on investment, just isn't working. We'll hear the stories and journeys of families who have learned to prioritize faith and family before finances. And in doing that, they create generational impact. Stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each episode captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down.
Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of Kingdom ROI, the Return on Intention podcast. And here we are again with Eric and Angel Dunovit. What's up, family? Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We're back at the beginning of another season, I guess.
Yes. And it's been so amazing just with all the different guests and topics and inspiration and encouragement. So I hope it's been a blessing to all of you who are listening. And I want to encourage you, go ahead and share it. Share it out on social media and share it with your friends. And we hope this is inspiring for you. So we're back here today, and I'm excited about the topic of discussion. We're going to continue a discussion about generosity. And if you've been listening for any amount of time, you know that this is a topic that we always come back to,
yep.
Whether it's talking about people giving in their family units, but also within their business. Generosity is a part of the kingdom way, You know? So we're going to just dive into that a little bit deeper into how do you create a legacy of generosity? You know, so if you're a business owner, if you're a parent and you've learned this skill of generosity, how do you pass that along? So we have Angel and Eric here to just kind of dive deeper in that. So tell us a little bit about your journey with generosity, and then how do you pass it on to your kids?
I think I went in a little bit kicking and screaming.
Generosity?
A little bit. I mean, if you go back and kind of listen to some of the stories, I mean, from my history and everything that I had been through, you know, I'd faced a deep loss in losing my mom, a deep loss in losing our family home to bankruptcy. And so I was on a pursuit of getting wealthy and you know, rich. And then we got introduced to what the Bible actually has to say about wealth, and recognizing that at its core, God's generosity to us was so overwhelming. And then his call for us to be generous. And then, so we just started, and Malachi, it says test. It's the only place in scripture God calls us to test him. And it talks about generosity, and it says, test me in this. And so we kind of took the test, and God showed up, and then we fell in love with it. If you go back and listen to some of the episodes, I'll just give you kind of the crucial moment. We were Angel was pregnant with our oldest son, Clayton, who's 23 now, and was getting ready for, we wanted her to stay home, and we were $200 short in our budget every month on paper. And we just knew that we had to start by giving from the first of whatever we had every single month. And that year we paid off $7,000 in debt, and God took care of us. And that really, wow. That then launched the fire of us falling in love with generosity. And there's a lot more generosity stories in there, but that was kind of the launching point. And I don't know if you'll add, if there's anything you want to add to that.
No, I think that you said it. Like, I really do. I think you said it. I think the key part of it is that we felt joy in giving.
Yeah.
And when we did test God, we saw him come through time and time and time again. And so we felt faith. We felt trust. We felt like if we honored that first fruits, that God was going to honor his part. And he did every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've noticed when it comes to generosity, it seems like it's a muscle to be developed, you know, so it's enjoyable once you get into it, but that beginning stage can oftentimes be tough, as Eric alluded to. So one thing that we say around the Kingdom ROI family is generosity defeats scarcity. How has that played out in your journey? Have you ever struggled with the mindset of scarcity, and how did generosity overcome that?
Go.
Me? I think that's a you question.
No, I think that I've got too many stories. I want to know what you would answer on this.
Wow, I'm totally on the spot. Let me think about that one. This is my statement to that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the childhood that Eric had. I had a much more calm, intentional childhood, raised by a family that was multi-generational Christian. Truthfully, I had everything I needed and most of what I wanted. But the gift in that is that I had an assurance in my heart that everything would just work out. Mm-hmm. So I will not say that it's never been scarce. And I won't say that I haven't wondered how we were going to get through. But I will say that I've always had a peace amongst it. I would think that the scarcity, truthfully, the struggle has been more in one instance on your side, because you as a child dealt with that as well.
Sure.
You know, so it is a muscle, but I think always in all things, your history has a lot to do with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you think about scarcity is the mindset of the world. It's always about what am I missing out on? What do I not have? I mean, the entire advertising industry is built out of scarcity. We wouldn't sell anything if we didn't have scarcity,
right?
I mean, so everything that we're told to do. And so what really comes in is this mindset, which we've got to be careful, is if I don't have something, then I don't have, like, I'm missing out. Like if I give something away, if I take the chance to give something away, then I'm missing out. I now don't have anything. And I think the challenge in that is, and the thing that I would add is that it limits who God is and what God can be. Because if there's only a finite amount of things, then generosity is scarce, is scary.
Right.
You know, if there's only a finite amount of things, if there's an overabundance of things, and God is the God of creator of the universe, and he can create something from nothing, if he can truly create abundance, even when nothing exists, if he can take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children, right?
Yeah. I mean,
if he can do all of that, then now we live in abundance, and giving away isn't scary. Because I've been joking in a lot of conversations lately, I'm like, it's just money. You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's just money. And
that's
so
right.
If he needs to get us more, he will. And I think
I thought that this morning.
you know? It's just there's so many times where we come into, and it's easy to look at, I don't have, but no, I mean, it's who is God? I think the thing about generosity, if we really dig into the heart of it, is we really find out who God is when we begin to embrace generosity.
Wow.
That's where we truly discover who God is and what he's capable of.
Right. Because that's the heart of who God is.
Yep.
You know, God sent his only begotten son. He gave his son.
Amen.
Yep. For us, which was the ultimate act of course, sacrifice, but generosity. And there's another passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 that states that those who sow bountifully shall reap bountifully, and those who sow sparingly shall reap sparingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the scriptures even encourage us to, like you said, test God in that.
Yeah.
Like he's not in lack. He's not in a recession or a depression or oppression, whatever the shun is. He's not there. And he wants to provide for his children. He wants to give. So he says, as you give out, I want to show you that my giving is greater than yours, and you can't beat me in it.
That's right.
You can try all day, but you can't beat me. So I have a 2-year-old at home, and she's precious, and she's starting to learn little words and little phrases. And she's starting to develop a mindset of ownership and not stewardship. And it's marked by this word, mine.
Mine. Yeah.
This is mine. So as we go into this conversation, just tell us a little bit more about your kids and their ages and take us on that journey of teaching them this principle of generosity. And how do you, you know, live that out practically?
Yeah.
Well, we have three kids. Our oldest is actually still 22.
Okay.
Yes.
He'll be 23. He'll be 23 by the time this episode comes out. I promise
you
that.
There you go. He got it right. Our second one is 20, and then our third child is 17. But they weren't always that age. They were small, and they were two. And we had three little ones in 5 years. And so our house was a bit crazy. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah, it's actually still pretty crazy, if we're going to be honest with it.
Yeah.
So anyway, what would you say?
Well, I loved what you said before we came on the air, that, I mean, it really comes down to stewardship of, that's not your toy, that's God's toy, and this is your season of getting to play with it. I think you could add even more to what you were saying before we come on the air, because I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah. So I really, really feel like the key to generosity for all of us, and the key for Eric when he worked through his issues with ambition and the desire to be rich versus the desire to give, was the finding of contentment and understanding where you are in the world and understanding your role in God's kingdom. And I feel like the most important part of that is understanding who owns what.
Yeah.
And the verse, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord," was a huge trigger for us as we developed the people that we became to become generous. Like, it was an evolution. This didn't happen from the get-go, but that verse was so important. So when our kids were little, and we had three, and we had two boys and then a little girl, and you know, there were ownership issues, shall we say, we were very, very, very careful to talk to them every day. And all that we were doing, and just say, if they're fighting over a toy, whose toy is that? Well, that's God's toy. He gave it to Clayton to use, but Clayton doesn't own it.
Yeah.
You know, and Clayton has the opportunity to let Austin use it too. Yeah. And, you know, and that the ownership is not yours. And we would do it with everything. We would say everything. We'd be like, oh my gosh, you're wearing God's underpants. You know, we would do all the things, because we were just trying to make the point, you don't own this.
Wow.
This isn't yours. And guess what? We don't own it. Me and Daddy don't own it.
Yeah.
You know, it belongs to God. And that's the most important starting point, I believe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think the other thing I would add, and this will come up as we kind of talk about some of the other things that happened along the journey, but one of the things that we've always done with our kids, which I don't know that everyone does, but I would encourage everyone to consider, is a lot of times it's like, well, the kids are not old enough. They can't handle this idea or this concept. And so people a lot of times will hold back on teaching a concept or teaching to someone because they think that their child doesn't have the capacity to understand it. And I think it may have come from Angel's educational background, kind of pulling me into, but we've always addressed our kids that there is a way for them to understand every single concept. It's our role as parents to now invite them into the conversation in a way they can understand. But there is always a way for them to understand. It's not a mystery. It's not, again, God makes himself known to everyone, and there's a way for everyone to understand. So that's what we then need to search out, is what's the communication style? What's the communication way that we can then go into that conversation? We've had really, really hard conversations at times, and not just about generosity, but we've had really, really hard conversations and things like that. Always beginning with, you know what, we're going to trust that God will be in this moment, and we just need to look for the way to help them understand what's going on.
Yeah. So when it comes to the cheerful giving part, how do you cultivate that, and how do you get them to be excited about it? Because you can tell them with the toy that, you know, God owns the toy, but in my heart, I still don't want to give up the toy, and I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it out of obligation. But how have you guys practically modeled cheerful giving? Like, we don't, in a sense, we don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. We don't have to give this, but we're doing it, and we're doing it with excitement.
Right.
And honestly, we can't wait to do it again. So how does that
Well, I think the number one thing, and then I'd love for you to step in kind of with more specifics, but the number one thing that has to happen for all of us, I don't care if you're 2 or you're 20 or you're 80, if you give and all you're doing is dropping a check off to someone else and have no connection to the giving, there's no joy.
Wow.
There's not. There's not any joy in just handing a check to someone else and not having any idea what happens and it goes off. And so at its core, all of the joy of generosity is about seeing the impact. It's about being a part of the story of what that generosity is doing. And so the way that you cultivate, the way that we cultivated joy and generosity was inviting them into stories, inviting them into participating of this is the impact that the giving that you're going to be doing or we're going to be doing in a family is going to make, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it can be little things, or not little things. This is a really important thing. Like sharing your toys, because there's no reason as a parent you can't do a think aloud where you're just telling your kid, oh, I really want to play with this toy. I want to play with this toy so bad. But I know that Austin, his heart wants to play with this toy. It really does. He wants it so bad. So I'm going to give of myself. And I'm going to let Austin play with my toy. And those moments over time, okay, I'm not saying it's like a switch, y'all. But over time, I really think that that's important, that not only do we just expect it of our kids and we say, you go do that, because that's, in my opinion, not real effective. But that we participate with them and that we show them this is what is happening. Not, I know what's happening in your heart. But what's happening in the other person's heart?
Yeah.
So so that's what you could do in an interpersonal way in a very like, you know, in that moment. And hey, mine is an important thing and understanding your world and who you are. And we always want kids to have their own identity, but we also want them to see and be empathetic for others.
So I think it really kind of gets captured up in two stories that we can dig into. And one of them being you know, there's groups like Samaritan's Purse and Compassion and other people out there that put these catalogs out, especially around the Christmas time, of where you can give to people who are in need. And so you get these catalogs, and it's really kind of cool because if you go through, it's like you can buy a goat, you can buy malaria netting, you can buy chickens,
soccer balls,
you can buy all these things. And so, like, one of the things that we did, and you could talk more about what happened, but I mean, we pulled out those catalogs. We get a catalog for each one of our children. And then we told them, you have this much money to spend or to give, to invest. And so maybe you could talk a little bit about kind of just what happened.
It's kind of interesting to see different kids' response to this. You know, like, you're going to have the kid that's like, we're buying soccer balls, all the soccer balls, the whole bit, mama, it's soccer balls. Then you have another kid that's like, oh, if I buy a goat, they could use the goat. And they could get milk from the goat. Like, you know, we got the enterprising kid, the joyful kid. Grayson always, they had like little Bibles with like a little stuffed lamb. She'd be like, I have to do that part. You know, so it's fun to see, but they were always excited about it.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah, but I mean, so then that becomes tangible for them because it's not, we didn't just give. Now they know that that gift is going to do something specific. Mm-hmm. Along those lines, this was not part of the story I was going to tell, but I mean, like, Compassion does these shoe boxes.
I think that's Samaritan's Purse
too. It is, okay. Giving the wrong.
Shout out to Samaritan Purse.
Yeah, there you go. But they do the shoe boxes, and my kids used to love to go buy all the stuff for the shoe boxes.
Yeah, so they're shoe boxes that are just so that become Christmas gifts again to people in countries. But they're full of tchotchkes. But it's a whole lot of fun for the kids to actually fill them up and write a note and know that it's going to someone. And a child is going to open that up. But if you were to ask me, like, the one invitation we had for our kids for giving that really at least sticks with me, is there was a couple in our church who had a son born who has special needs. And he's a month older than Clayton. So it was really, really easy for us to look and go, we have a healthy child and they are struggling with a child who is not very verbal, who will spend his entire life in a wheelchair, a quadriplegic, and unable, and just what is going to happen? And we were at a like a roadshow or something like that for different equipment for families of special needs. And there was it a walker?
It was a walker. It was when he was young and they thought he still might be able to walk. And so it was to help. It wasn't a traditional walker.
Yeah. But it was a tool that he could use to, we were hopeful that he might be able to walk. And there was no way the family could afford to buy that. And so we found out how much it was. And then we brought the family, our family, around the table. And it's like, what if we were able to come together as a family to help Will walk?
Hmm.
What if we could do that?
And he was in school with Clayton. So, and it was a great school that celebrated everyone. And so Clayton was real familiar with Will and his needs from church as well as school. So that was really nice. So even though it was for another kid that he knew, some people would say, oh, maybe you shouldn't tell your child that's who it's for. But I think that this was an opportunity to teach our kids about the sensitivity of an issue.
Yeah.
And that yes, we want to give this to Will. And if you guys want to do this, we'd like to do this. But, you know, this isn't something we tell people about. We just know in our hearts that we're helping Will.
Wow.
You know? And I mean, and he was young.
Yeah, I think kindergarten or first grade or something like that. But I mean, they would come in and Will would use the walker
at school,
like they'd bring him into assemblies and things like that. And he would be like, Mom and Daddy, Will was using. But so again, we're seeing it's generosity, but we're seeing the changed life. We're seeing the impact. It's not just an empty, you know. And I think that's where so many people get caught up. The church or whoever's just after my money.
Mm.
And it's like, no. What you need to understand is generosity is about the impact that sits on the other side of that, on what you're truly making a difference around.
Wow.
And that's what we've, again, tried to show our kids from the very beginning and invite them in to see that you truly can experience joy and impact when you're being generous.
Yeah. And there's opportunities for generosity all around you.
Yes.
And if you would open your empathetic eyes to see, you can be a part of meeting so many different needs. So I've often heard generosity broken into categories. Of course, we have the financial generosity piece, which is huge, and it's huge throughout scripture, you know, because where your treasures are, that's where your heart is.
Yeah.
But also when it comes to serving, like giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure, you know, so tell us more about how you implement the time piece of it to your kids about how they gave of their time and how did you model and teach them that?
Well, again, one of the things that we've always done, we've been crazy enough. Like if we're going to travel, we just take the kids. And if we're going to, we just always involve them in our lives. Again, don't go out to eat because your kids will be rambunctious. Your kids are going to be rambunctious until they learn how to go out to eat. So take them out to eat so they learn how to not be rambunctious, right? So we kept inviting them in. So if we would go out and volunteer, we would look for places and ways that we could go volunteer that they could come along.
Mm-hmm.
We kept looking for ways that they could be engaged in that. I think back to even we had taken the company here. And so we do some of our volunteering days with the company. And so long as the kids can come along, we'd taken them over to a local nonprofit ministry here down in Mandeville. Mm-hmm. And they had moved rock and everything around in the parking lot, which then led Clayton to, hey, for my birthday, I don't want any gifts. What I want is everybody to make a donation
to that nonprofit.
To this nonprofit. And they all went to the nonprofit. And
that was a proud mom and dad moment.
It was. And all the kids brought a food donation. And then we met there for his birthday. And they gave the food on his birthday. That was his birthday party. And they gave him a tour. We didn't plan all this. This just sort of happened. Those things happen. It's God. And then we went out to eat and had fun with friends. But it was a beautiful moment because there's a connection. A connection is so important.
Yeah. So what about the talent piece? So as your kids...
No, we're coming back to time.
Okay, go back to time.
No, because the next part, so that's locally.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that God kept putting on our heart was we needed to get our kids exposed to international.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get them exposed to what else was going on in the world. you know, we had a couple of Christmas mornings we woke up and you could, all the presents are open and still like, where's more? You know, this is my, you'd still have that kind of attitude. It's like, man, this is, you know, we're trying to, we're not perfect at this. And, right. And the mine, they may get it from me. I don't know. I mean, it could be, it's still an issue I wrestle with. Right. But we knew we needed to do something international, but the challenge we kept finding again, because we're like, we're not going to set limits on our kids. And because of all the rules and laws and government regulation and everything in the United States, we were trying to go on a family mission trip, but we couldn't even find anything in the States that we could get our, I mean, let our kids get their hands dirty. Let them just get involved. And we found out about a ministry called Amor Ministries, based out of San Diego, California, who is doing mission trips down to Tijuana, Mexico. And it's a 3-day trip where you could go build a home. And the minimum age to go on one of their trips is 3 years old, believe it or not.
I was really excited because our daughter was 5 when we discovered this. And we had tried so hard to find other things and nobody would let young kids go.
So talk a little bit about our first time going down there, kind of the, even through your eyes and what you think about just kind of in giving time.
Well, our first trip down there was awesome and amazing and eye-opening. People always, you know, the question is always, oh, is it safe? I can't believe you're taking your kids to Tijuana, all of those things. And I'm still me and I can't help it. I'm just like, it's all going to be fine. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're going to think through and we're going to do things wisely and we're going to seek counsel and we're going to do those things. But there's no reason that we need to be afraid. And there was nothing to be afraid of. It was the most beautiful. I just can't even explain how great this experience was for us. And we actually road tripped there and took like 3 weeks to get there to San Diego. And our kids literally did everything between Southeast Louisiana and San Diego, California. They did Disneyland. They did Grand Canyon. They literally like everything. Okay. And when all was said and done, do you want to, I think you should tell this. You tell it and then I'm going to tell what they said to my daddy.
Well, I mean, it just, I hope I'm not about to steal what you're going to say.
Okay, you go.
But I mean, it was just like, what was the best part of the trip? Again, we've just seen the Grand Canyon. We've just been to Disneyland. We got to go to, we got a backstage tour at a movie studio and got to see a Transformer. I mean, it was, I mean, all this really cool stuff. And it was like, what was the best part of the trip? Like going to Mexico. But the thing that I'm going to let you tell what they said to your dad. Here's what hit me, though, and where I knew we were really making a difference was as we were getting on the bus to leave, to come home. Now, let's keep in mind what we didn't say is this is Tijuana and we slept on the ground and there were pit toilets, so just a trench dug in the ground, and that's where you take a shower by getting a bucket and filling it up with water and dumping it on your head. That's in terms of taking bucket showers. The food is amazing because the pastor's wives make the food, but that's the experience. And then you go build a home, which, you know, we say a home, it would be a shed if you looked at. But my daughter looked up at me, Grayson looked up at me, and she said, "We're coming back next year, right, Daddy?"
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was the moment. But I was hooked. But what did they?
Well, we did all that stuff, and then we stopped at my parents' house before we came back here. And my daddy said, "Tell me about your trip." And all they wanted to talk about was Mexico. And he said, "I can't believe this. You, all those things you did. What do you want to talk about? Mexico, you know?" And I think because he got Montezuma's revenge every time he went, he couldn't believe they were so excited about Mexico. But it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. You should tell about Gracie and the little girl.
You should tell about Grayson the little girl, because
so here's the crazy, crazy thing. I'm not saying my child's prophetic. However. Let's see. What happened was Gracie was 5 and we really did. We looked all over the place. We looked internationally. We looked in the States because we actually thought at some point maybe it'd be easier to do it in the States. Well, it isn't. It's much harder because of all the insurance regulations. And so there was no place that we could take a young child. And we would talk about it at the dinner table. Oh, I explored this. Oh, I talked to this pastor. Oh, we have this connection. All of those things. And every time we would come back to the kids and say, that one's a no-go. God has another plan. You know, over and over. And at one point, Grayson looked at us and she says, "We're going to go to Mexico." This was before we had ever even talked about Mexico. She says, we're going to go to Mexico and I'm going to play with the kids and we're going to take them candy and markers and bubbles. This is what she said. And I was just like, yeah, good luck. You know, I can't even get it in the States. Like, and then all of a sudden, a few weeks later,
so cool.
Eric says to me, I was talking to someone and they said that there's this place called this charity called Amor. We should talk to them because they let three-year-olds go across the border. And I was like, shut up. Yeah. This is going to be it. And it was. And God gave us a beautiful story that trip because the young family that we built a house for was a young family. They had a little girl, just a little bit younger than Grayson. And the family was very involved. Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't because sometimes they have to work. You know, we've never had a child that young before. I don't, maybe one other time. And, but on the last day, when we're celebrating giving them a house and giving them a key, this young family, they just wanted a safe place for their daughter to be where no one that could get to her. And so we gave them the key and Gracie gave the little girl her markers and the lollipops and the bubbles.
Oh,
and we have the most beautiful picture of those two little girls playing with bubbles in Mexico, in Tijuana, in the dirt ground and craziness all around them. And to me, that is a beautiful picture of what God does when you have a desire in your heart and he brings it to fruition in a way you could never imagine.
And then we went back, what, 7-8 years in a row?
Well, 7 years in a row, then COVID, and we've went back again last year for the first time.
But the kids always have just like loved going back. Like it's a trip they don't want to miss. Last summer, Clayton couldn't go because he was working an internship and he was like upset.
Yeah,
that he couldn't go. But the other thing too, so you talk about cultivating a heart of generosity in your kids. I remember one time we were sitting at the table. Clayton's the real reflective. You need to know that Clayton's the one who's like, he's the deep thinker in the family. But he was just like, he's like, man, I'm too caught up in what's going on here. I think I just need to go to Mexico for some time just to get a right perspective on what really matters.
Wow. How old was he when he said
that?
16.
I think he was younger than that.
I just thought it was in the new house. So that's the only
was
reason.
It?
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe 15,
16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And I just want to say this, don't underestimate what God can do through your children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just because they are young doesn't mean that they can't be used by God. Mm-hmm. I think they actually have more of a sensitivity to hear from the Spirit and to be bold about what God is saying, you know, and that was Jesus challenges to us, like come to him with childlike faith. So as I listen to your story, that's what I hear. You gave your children permission to hear from God, to speak what God is saying, and then to act on what God is saying. So for all of our listeners, what if God wants to use your children to reignite this passion of generosity in you, if you just give them permission to do so?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It's really good.
So as we continue this conversation, that's so powerful. So we've talked about generosity from a financial perspective. Then we talked about generosity from a time perspective. Let's talk about talents. And this is related to the conversation. I would love to hear about, the Bible says, if you raise a kid in the way that they should go, or in the area of their bent, helping identify what they're good at.
Yeah.
They will not depart from it. So how has that journey been for you identifying the natural giftings, talents, and abilities that are in your children? I'm sure they're all very different.
Yes.
But then teaching them and coaching them on how to use that for the purpose of helping others and adding value to others.
The problem is Clayton's been around the longest. He's been through the most. I think the one thing that comes to mind for me, and then I'll let you kind of talk about the other, if something else comes for you. But I mean, I think a Clayton has always had a bent towards computers and computer science. And, you know, he in the eighth grade, I think he asked for a computer science textbook for Christmas.
He's crazy.
I never asked for that.
I never asked for a textbook.
No.
Right? No. Anyway, so, but he's at college studying that. And what he gravitated towards was an organization on campus called Hack the Future that was going in and helping nonprofits and helping groups get the technology upgrades that they needed, apps and everything else that they needed to help their organization. So take your natural gifts and then use those and point that in the direction of what you see God doing and where you can use your talents. He was president of that organization. He's going to graduate this May, and he's president emeritus or whatever of the organization. But I mean, that's how important that was to him, to just watch him then take that and show him, hey, no, you can, you know, naturally use what you're doing, but then point it in the direction of being generous and helping other people.
And do what everyone else is getting oodles of money to do, and do it for free for nonprofits and help them, yeah. You know. The direction that I personally was thinking about, it was more relationally. And I would say that our kids have always had a bent, all of them, to look towards, I would say, disenfranchised kids, yeah. Or mm-hmm. kids that may not have the friend groups that other kids do, and to reach out to them. And I would say that they have taught me how to continue their work and to be open to friendships to everyone. And I mean, in general, that's something I do, but they have challenged me in that venue. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I feel like that as our kids get older, they challenge our childhood beliefs by learning and being able to say, this is what is happening. Jesus is love. And this is how Jesus would handle this situation. Mm-hmm. And I have one other quick story if I have a minute.
Yeah, go for
just
it.
A minute. I was thinking about that one time at Cedarwood when a group of people that put wells in villages in Africa. And so they came in and they were showing pictures to try to give the kids context. And there was a picture of a rather ramshackle group of buildings built with like garage doors and things like that. And the presenter said, who knows what this is? And the kids were like, junk, you know, or whatever they're answering. And Austin raised his hand and he said, that's a neighborhood. And he knew that because he'd been in neighborhoods like that. Yeah. But he understood that neighborhoods don't all look like ours. And that is so important. And the fact that he could understand that in that place, there were people just like him, living just like we live, trying to get through things. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That's amazing. So we're already at the end of the show. Yep. But thank you again, Eric and Angel, for sharing your story. And I want to encourage everybody, as I said before, what happens when you give your kids permission to live generously and you model for them what it means to be a cheerful giver? And I want to offer you a gift from Kingdom ROI. We have something called a Family Impact Kit that has a generosity activity that you will find useful as you engage in conversation with your children. And if you want that, just go ahead and email us at info@kingdomroi.org. And we will send that to you. So thank you for joining us for the show today. Have a great day. Chris Callahan here, faith strategist at KingdomROI.org. Thank you so much for joining us for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or family who is pursuing generational abundance and impact for 100 plus years, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of your journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I want to invite you to apply. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to our team. You want to know more? Great. Go to our website, kingdomroi.org, and follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. This is Chris Callahan, Faith ROI Strategist for Kingdom ROI, signing off until next time.